there's some things that I want to clean up for Calgary and other places. But before we get to that, I want to apologize to you on behalf of the people that work here at Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Because I've listened to your two morning show hits this week, and quite honestly, those buffoons don't give you the respect and the treatment that you deserve. Because,
well, I don't give them it either.
No, so. But
I mean, there is a back and forth.
Nor should you. But I thought you raised something real interesting with those guys, and they didn't grab it, and then they made fun of you in the second hit in the week.
Oh, see, that I didn't know.
Well, no.
Okay, what was that?
Well, it was your thought about arenas. You know, when you're building new buildings, because you just finished putting together, a big project or a big story on goal scoring. And you were making a point that I have long wondered about and often talked about is, why don't we in the NHL shift to more of a Major League Baseball approach? Like, here are the parameters, but go forth and build a rink to your specifications.
Yeah. Well, and I think the one thing I realized afterwards that I don't know if, you know, because Rhett Warner was the one, when I read, here's what happened for anybody that wasn't listening.
Yep.
I suggested that, you know, that the NHL lost an opportunity in the 80s when the last building boom started.
Right.
Do anything about the size of the ice. So, you know, it's a contentious issue, you know, partly because, you know, the international equivalent is 200 by 100 feet, too wide. I think most people in Europe even think it's too wide. And in the NHL, we have 200 by 85. So, but there's no rule that says it has to be an either or. There can be a compromise. And there is an arena in Helsinki, the Hartwell Arena, that splits the difference and it's 92.5. And, you know, several people, Dave Tippett among them, you know, says that he's been there, seen it, thinks it works really well. I think even that might be a little bit too wide. But what I suggested was, okay, we're on the verge of another building boom, probably the first building that is going to be on stream after Edmonton's gets built and gets going is the one in Calgary. And my suggestion was, let's go 5 extra feet of ice. And I think Rhett misunderstood that. He thought that I meant to go the full meal deal international.
No,
that's crazy.
Yeah.
But 5 extra feet. I mean, think about how the dimensions of the players have changed in 3 decades. I mean, you know, to me, one of the great conundrums, of course, is that, you know, when I started covering hockey, it was rare that a skater or a position player could be Theo Fleury size or Marty St. Louis size. You know, the small guys were the goalies, Mike Vernon, you know, 5-0.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and so what has changed? You know, now all of a sudden the small guys do have a place in the National Hockey League, you know, the Tyler Johnsons of the world, and the guys that are tending goal are all 6'7". You know, I mean, Joni Ordio, I mean, the biggest knock against Joni Ordio is he's 6'1", you know, quote, small, by the standard of the modern day. So everybody's bigger. Everybody's bigger, and yet we still play on the same size ice. So that's what I said, you know. I mean, you can't change 30 arenas, because to retrofit 30 arenas, I checked this with a couple of general managers, it's really expensive.
Yep.
You know, it has to do with the ice plants and, you know, complex engineering questions that would bore people anyway. So let's just say it really can't be done in an economical way or a practical way. Okay, so what's the next possibility? Well, you know, so Calgary build a building for 3 years, 4 years down the road, and they go 200 by 90. And then it's different, you know. So it's one that's a little bit bigger, and then we'll see how it goes. You know, I don't think it would make that much of a difference that, in 3 years' time, people are going to say, uh-oh, now what? You know, well, how are we going to get it back to the standard size? I don't think that would happen. I really believe what would happen is, wow, this is really good, because it just gives everybody a little bit of extra room. You still have the contact in the game that you love, but skill players have just another half a beat to make a play. Because most of the things that I've been talking about with coaches, and, you know, I had a great conversation with Patrick Waugh about it, about how the game has changed from when he played to now. You know, he's thought of as an offensive coach, and he said, you know, the way the game is played right now, there's pressure on the puck carrier all the time. He said, you know, Gretzky would come and circle in the zone, and everybody would be lost out there, and he'd have time and, you know, find a guy, and away you go, you make a play. He says, now, you know, there's pressure right away, and you know, as in any sport, that's the point that he made, if you put pressure on someone, it's harder to make a good play. So, yeah, so that's one of the ideas that I really do think it's a good idea, and I've run it by some people, and talked to somebody in the Flames organization who came up to me the other day and said, heard that thing on the radio and thought it was a great idea. So, I mean, I don't think that they're going to do it, because I think you would need, you know, permission from the league.
Yep.
I do wish that the NHL, because they went down this path and then they kind of retreated. You know, 7 or 8 years ago, they went to research and development camps, and the idea was, you know, throw some ideas out there. And there were some crazy ones. You know, Buffalo sent a net that, you know, that bowed on the outside and it looked odd and everything else, but it started conversation. And I thought it was great to be able to do that. And they did it for 2 summers, and then they stopped doing it, and they don't really have anybody doing research
and development.
He's even checking
in and giving us the latest in the Canadian Football League.
We'll talk to you Friday.
$4 billion industry. Would it really hurt the game?
He's a Rashmadani.
He's a handful of people on staff. Think about ideas like that and say, you know, okay, why shouldn't we do this? Why wouldn't this be a good idea? And then, you know, maybe you act in a more progressive way than you do right now, which, you know, where it tends to be a lot of the changes that happen tend to be reactive rather than proactive.
Let me go a little sideways with you on this, because first of all, I think there's two things at play. One, you know, we're talking about a 30-year cycle to change over most buildings. So you'd have to have the ability to be a little bit forward-thinking, because this isn't like 3-on-3 overtime. You're not going to change something overnight. And the second one is, I've heard you talk about expanding, but in your theory, could you allow me to make it smaller? And the reason I go there is I spent some time in Estevan, Saskatchewan, and the building was the same size as the old Boston Garden, so it was a small building. Our teams were always big. We'd go to Notre Dame and Wilcox, so they had Olympic ice. They'd always outskate us up there. We'd always beat the crap out of them back home.
Yeah, good point. I mean, I don't know that I would necessarily do that, but you're referencing a time when, you know, Boston, Buffalo, Chicago all had buildings that were slightly smaller, and for sure those teams geared their development to the dimensions of their ring. I would say, though, that, you know, that would kind of defeat the purpose.
It would,
you know, again, you know, like if the player, if somehow the game were to slow down for whatever reason, you know, the two-line offside pass came back, and if you decided to make some changes to sort of turn the clock back, then I think you could do that. Everybody I've talked to, and I've talked to a lot of coaches, general managers, players, mostly coaches and general managers in the last month about a whole variety of topics. Everyone likes the changes that came out of the lockout to take the obstruction out of the game. Didn't like that sort of one to one-and-a-half-year period where there were so many penalties called and there were so many special team plays, and there was sort of an artificial spike, actually, in goal scoring for 1 year coming out of the middle lockout that the NHL has had, just because they were determined to get obstruction out of the game, and after, you know, saying that, for paying lip service to that for a decade, they actually did stick to their guns that time, and they did get obstruction out of the game. So I think that was a positive change. That's one of the, you know, I mean, the Shanahan summit in conjunction with that, mm-hmm. you know, that middle lockout was the one time that they actually did do this exercise, and I think we saw a lot of positive changes out of it. I didn't love all of the changes. Don't love the shootout. I think that, you know, that as we've seen the shootout, you know, play out over the course of a decade now, you know, that's why we're going to see the 3-on-3 this year. And you know, that is a 1 year experiment too. I mean, they reserve the right if for whatever reason, you know, at the end of 1 year they say no, this is too gimmicky, or no, it didn't work. You know, they can change it back. They haven't committed to 3 years or 5 years or 10 years or forever on 3-on-3. I personally think they are going to like it a lot, and I think fans are going to like it a lot. I think players like it a lot because, you know, you're hamstrung sometimes when you're on the ice because of all the things that we just talked about. You know, people are in your face so fast, you know, boom, 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 make a quick play. Here you have more time to make a play, and I think that you see the true skill on display in these types of things. You know, there are still a percentage of people out there who believe that the game was more skilled 30 years ago, you know, and there's not enough good players to go around, and I just don't think that they're watching. They don't go to practices like we do.
Yeah.
We see the things that guys do in practice when they're just goofing off that just wasn't, you know, the players of 30 years ago just couldn't do it. You know, they're fitter, they're faster, and they can do things with the stick and the puck that across the board far exceeds what players of, you know, 30 years ago could do. So, you know, that's why I'm not worried about expansion or any of these other things. I think there's lots of players. I think that, you know, the creating the environment to allow these players to show those skills is that's the role and the goal of the National Hockey League. And sometimes they do a good job of that, but I do think that they could be a little bit more forward-thinking on some other matters.
Yeah, I tend to keep my beliefs to myself because I'm pretty rock solid in them. But if we truly wanted more goals, we would eliminate coaches and just have just have one. Just create the... Because you talked about 3-on-3 overtime. The players will love it. The fans will love it. The league will like it. The coaches will hate it because they can't coach it, right? How can you defend 3-on-3? They won't like it.
Oh, they're dreaming up ways, though, Rob.
Oh,
that's the one thing. They're sitting there in the video rooms right now, sort of designing triangles and all kinds of... Honestly, they are.
Yeah, you're right.
You know they are. Yep. Yeah, you know they are. No, I mean, I've made that suggestion in the past, too, that, well, first of all, you know, I made a ludicrous, you know, off-the-wall suggestion, which, you know, in conjunction with the outdoor games, I said, hey, you know, outdoor, when we played outdoor hockey as kids, we just played, right? You know, you made your own line changes. I said, so if we're going to have NHL outdoor games, you should ban the coaches and let the players run the bench themselves. Yeah, that one is a little bit out there. But you know what? It would be fun.
I love it. I love it.
It would be fun because you know what? The players are so responsible anyway that it wouldn't be a free for all. It wouldn't, but there might be a tendency to get into run and gun a little bit more rather than having the, you know, sort of the coach, you know, pulling the reins back, which they do, you know, like sometimes the game opens up, right? You know, kind of rush chance missed, back and forth, and then whoa, the coaches are reining you in like you're on a bucking bronco. But you're right, one coach on the bench running the defense, running the forwards, and no access to video until the intermission. That would be great. Every coach I talked to about this, you know, I prefaced it the same way. Mm-hmm. I said, everything that is good about the National Hockey League and everything that is bad about the National Hockey League is your fault. And luckily, most of them had a laugh over that. And
you're not wrong. Eric DeHatchek from the Globe and Mail, Globe Sports. Back here in Calgary, it's looming on the horizon. I mentioned October 7th, start of the regular season. It doesn't seem like if the Calgary Flames open the season with three goaltenders, it's a matter of now, you know, when they open the season. The big story is who gets the start on day one.
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, and normally, I have a strong opinion about lots of different things. But if I don't have a strong opinion or knowledge of the situation, I like to freely admit it. And this one has me completely puzzled because I've written about it. I've sort of outlined the scenario for my readers in the Globe and Mail tomorrow. But it's really, the conclusions aren't a whole lot different than the ones that everybody else has had, too. It is a tough call, and that's the thing. I mean, you know... They have preached since, you know, this new regime has come in that they have to think big picture long term. So if you're thinking big picture long term related specifically to this, then there has to be a place for Yoni Ordio, just because there is a risk of losing him, you know, because of his age, because of his contract. You know, there are teams, you know, the Islanders announced today that Halak would not be starting the season. I'm not sure that even if he was 100% healthy, he's kind of a fragile guy. He's had his, you know, are you satisfied with the complement of goaltenders that you have in that organization behind Halak? Probably not. You know, Tampa, you know, picked up Kevin Poulin from the Islanders because, you know, they're very good young kids. Vasilevsky won't be ready to play for 3 months. Even Boston, you know, they've got Gustafson in on a PTO. He's played pretty well, but you know, beyond Tukarask, you know, are you confident in your goaltender? Do you not think that Yoni Ordio would be a perfect complement? You know, he's signed to a contract. He's a player that has a little bit of a future. I just think that if you put him on waivers, there are enough teams that have question marks in goal that would say, 24 years old, $600,000, you know, even if it's just a short-term fix, let's grab him. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, that the management in Calgary is smart enough to realize that. So, you know, if you put him out there, you probably will lose him. I don't think it's the same as last year with Jakob Markstrom. You know, I think there were a lot of people that were surprised to see his name on the waiver wire. He got through. You know, he's the backup in Vancouver right now. He was certainly more highly rated than Ordio. But every year and every goaltending situation is different. So if you agree with me on that premise, then it's almost a toss of the coin because, you know, Hiller's 33, Ramos 29, but one of those guys can play for you for a couple of years, even though they're only signed for a year apiece, you know, until you see the John Gillies ready to play, until you see the Mason McDonald's coming through. That's 2 to 3 years away. So you need somebody that can fill the gap until you get to those kids that, that everybody believes are going to be, you know, they're blue chip prospects and are going to be very good National Hockey League players. So I don't know. I guess I'm answering it backwards. I can't see them, you know, giving away Oreo after having, you know, after investing all of this time in his development, knowing full well, you know, unless you have it absolutely rigged, unless you go to the Islanders, the Bruins, and Tampa and say, would you take him? And hope you have a relationship with these guys and they tell you the truth. Yeah, no, we're fine with what we've got. We're not going to do that. It sometimes happens in sport that, you know, that you can get an honest answer, but you really do have to have confidence in your relationship with those guys. And it wouldn't surprise me if they were having trade talks with all of those teams because they know who they are. And, you know, you are in a position, because of the way the salary cap is right now, to offer to take money back. So, you know, Hiller at what he's making? No. You know, Hiller at half of what he's making might interest some teams that are looking for an experienced insurance policy. Ramo's athleticism, I think, excites people. There were, you know, people that kicked the tires on him last year when he was a free agent, but he was looking for term and dollars, and nobody decided, you know, because, you know, the Talbots and the Joneses and all of that movement that we saw at that position, you know, he kind of fell through the cracks a little bit, but there are teams that like him too. So, you know, I'm outlining all the scenarios, but I don't have a great answer for you. But who gets that starting nod? I don't even have a good guess.
Well, a week from now, it'll be in the past tense and we'll know. Monday, we might not even know then, but it'll be intriguing next week. Don't let those guys in the morning show bully you. I mean, I
you know what? I love those guys. But it is a different hit than you and I do. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, it's amazing what happens when you listen to your guest. I'm just saying. No, they're good guys. All right, bud. We'll see you on Monday. Thanks for doing this.
All right, Rob. Thanks. Bye.